Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at-bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To save his life, call his wife, and
hey, how we doing? 406. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. On this Reaction Monday, off of week two in the NFL. Jets get a victory. Didn't play terrific. Still have defensive issues. Got enough offensively. Did make the stop defensively at the end of the game. You never apologize for a victory in the NFL. It's a road win against Tennessee. They did enough. Aaron Rodgers is still the quarterback of the Jets and, you know, made enough plays, looked like Aaron Rodgers, just enough to get a touchdown difference victory. They did lose Jermaine Johnson to a Achilles injury, but still a victory. You're going to have to deal with that. You're going to have to talk about Hassan Reddick now. But the Jets get a victory, and the Giants, we talk a lot about the same old Jets. Well, it's the same old Giants. This is now the ninth year in the last dozen, 9 out of 12, where the Giants have started 0-2. And they continue to figure out ways to lose football games. They are the first team in NFL history to score 3 touchdowns and not allow any and lose. The first team in history. And that stat makes you think that the defense played well. It didn't. I don't even know if it makes you think that. Seven. Seven's the magic number. 7 field goals on every possession, other than a brief knee taken at the end of the first half. The Washington Commanders went down the field every single time they touched the ball. The Giants didn't have a kicker, and Washington didn't need a punter. As obviously the big story coming out of this, yes, Daniel Jones played relatively well, and at least we don't have to have that conversation. Daniel Jones was not the reason for the loss. Daniel Jones played well. Him and Malik Nabers had a good day. 18 attempts to Malik Nabers out of his 28 pass attempts. Malik Nabers had 10 yards, over 100 yards receiving. Yes, he dropped the final play, and that's a killer, and you've got to catch that ball. But it's tough to kill him when he was the offense, pretty much. And Daniel Jones played fine. They didn't get enough possessions. They go down and put the ball into the end zone 3 times. But the story of this game is this coaching staff and this front office, or whoever makes decisions for the New York Giants, for the second year in a row. And that's what's mind-numbing about it for me, that you can't learn from your mistakes. They go into this game knowing that Gunnoe has a groin injury. I got, you know, guys who cover, Dan Duggan, who covers the Jets for The Athletic, sending out tweets prior to the game that Gunnoe looks uncomfortable during the pregame warmup. This is the guy who tweaked his groin on Saturday. You're telling me that on Saturday he looked fine, good enough to play, good enough to not call up a kicker off the practice squad for just in case, a backup plan, that he looked fine on Saturday where you were so sure he was ready to go, but on Sunday he's uncomfortable and grimacing during warm-up kicks, cuts his warm-up short, and the punter is taking kicks in the pregame warm-up, practicing field goals in the warm-up, and for the second straight year, Like a game against the Jets, they have a kicker who is injured and no backup plan. A kicker who went into the game injured with no backup plan. This coach, who took this team to the playoffs year one, has been Joe Judge and everyone else who's had any association with this franchise ever since. What an embarrassing display to lose to this team. A team that allowed Baker Mayfield to go up in one of the worst defenses in the NFL. And have your defense, this bend but don't break mentality that allowed them to go down to the field time after time. If you bend that much, it's the same as breaking. What a disgusting display of defensive football. I mean, you got it from the first drive on. The first drive, third and long, penalty. Second drive, third and long. Daniels is allowed to scamper for 13 yards for a first down. They could not get off the field to save their lives. And they're forced to try two-point conversions. They're forced to go for it on fourth down because they don't have a backup plan for a kicker who entered the game injured. This coach has a lot of explaining to do. He has to explain why the team didn't show up week one. He has to explain why a good defensive coordinator had to be banished from the team because he couldn't figure out a way to work with them. He has to figure out why now this defensive coordinator who was brought here with the one guidelines of stopping the run, the one thing he was able to do in Tennessee, has come here and been overrun 215 yards against the Commanders yesterday and for rushing yards. The only thing about this game is that you don't have to yell about Daniel Jones and that the offense did play better. So if you want to hang your hat on that, if you're a Giant fan looking for the positives, yes. The inept offense looked better this week. Week one against Minnesota was a debacle. They actually showed some life. Malik Nabers exploded, had a huge game. Daniel Jones looked good. They had two touchdown passes, a third touchdown. It looked like an NFL offense, whoop-de-doo, against one of the worst defenses in the sport, the one team that probably has a worse roster than them, and they could not figure out a way to win a game against an inferior opponent and could not figure out how to get off the field and found new ways to lose. And here we are again, 0-2, like we seem to be every single year, having no idea where the first win's going to come from. We know the schedule. We know what's up next. You got a Cleveland team that last year in their building played defense at a historic level. That's how good they were home defensively. Now we'll see if that's the same team, but you know how good this defense can be. They found a way to beat Jacksonville. Watson played a little bit better. I don't know if anybody expects them. I think they're a 6.5-point dog heading into Cleveland. Then you've got a short week against Dallas. I mean, where is the first win coming from? Where is any win coming from if they can't beat Washington? And the coach had to answer questions about his future, answer questions about his coaching job. How could he not be on the hot seat? Like, I know we think that, you know, the offense was a little bit better, and this owner has no interest in constantly firing head coaches. This GM and coach tandem, what have they done? Yes, they won a road playoff game. Yep, can't take it away from them. Since then, they've been atrocious. The coach makes the same mistakes over and over again. They sign a quarterback for $40 million who isn't a franchise quarterback. They've drafted, in their first draft, had two top 10 picks. They took an offensive lineman who's not good enough to play, a pass rusher who I wouldn't say is a bust, but does he impact games very often? Not the first two this year for sure, in Kayvon Thibodeau. They drafted a wide receiver in the third round in Hyatt who can't see the field. They haven't drafted well. They haven't prepared well. They haven't coached well. They haven't manipulated the roster well. They've done nothing well. And they have found ways to continue to lose games and have dead seasons in September. Same old Jets. We hear that a lot. Well, this is the same old Giants. Losing at the beginning of the year, having dead seasons, and they may give us some meaningless victories. They did it last year. It won't change the fact that this team is heading nowhere fast. And this season's already over as far as meaningful wins, and we'll have to see what kind of performance they get. And call me, I'm not in the tank mode just yet. It's way too early. right? I believe the season's dead, but we all know today I can't declaratively say that. But here's the point. 0-2, you don't make the playoffs. We all know it. They've got a quarterback they can't afford to keep on the field for during a losing season because he might get injured like he does every year, and they'll have to pay him next year. So you're looking at probably going to a backup quarterback who they gave $5 million for in Luck, who I don't think is any good. And we're going to be in the position again, which I hate to be in, wondering whether or not winning 6 or 7 games is better for this team than winning 1 or 2. And there's no worse position a fan can be in on whether or not you think your team should win and that's the best for the franchise. And the Giants consistently put us there. And here we are again on September 16th. And it's mind-numbing. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Peter in Manhattan. What's up, Pete?
Hey, how you doing, Chris? How's your family? Good?
Good. Everyone's good. Yeah. How's your family, Peter?
Good, thank you, thank you. My mine started school, so, you know, it's going to be tough for me to call. But Chris, just to add to the Giants' defense, I mean, let's be honest. The defense was so bad. I mean, not one punt for the Washington, but the reason Washington didn't score, I mean, they got penalties. How many penalties did Washington get inside the 10-yard line, first and goal?
Oh, no, I mean, 100%. There's no doubt. Exactly. Holding them to field goals, I mean, listen, you have to give them some credit. They did, you know, to stand up and play better defensively in the red zone. But you're right. False starts up out the gazoo. They were constantly shooting themselves in the foot. That's why they didn't get in the end zone. Absolutely. But the killer was the drives took 7-8 minutes. They dominated the possession time. The Giants' offense was never on the field.
Never on the field. Yeah. I mean, the Giants had how many? They had 7 possessions, right? So 2 turnovers, 3 scores and 2 punts, 7 possessions, that's it. I mean, Chris, I hate to say this, but if the Giants win 3 or 4 games, I think they'll be lucky. I mean, it's just getting worse. I thought last year was the epitome of them reaching the pitch, but I think it's going to be worse this year. But anyway, thanks for taking my call, Chris.
You got it.
Hopefully the Yankees will do well and we'll speak soon. Be well.
Let's hope so. Now, That's absolutely true. The Commanders aren't good. Daniels might end up being a really good quarterback. He's shown some skills. He's got the tools. We know what he did in college. I think he might end up being a really good quarterback. This is the time to get Washington before they start to rebuild this thing under Daniels. But right now, he's not that. He's able to run. That's it. They had nothing in the passing game. McLaurin did nothing. They did nothing. They threw a bunch of bubble screens and like they didn't really attack down the field. Maybe a handful of plays. They didn't do anything. The only thing you couldn't do was let him beat you with his legs. And it's screen passes to Eckler. It's swing passes to Eckler. Robinson obviously running the ball down your throat. It's, you know, the occasional pass down the field, but mainly it's you know, avoiding the rush and getting 8 yards on 2nd and 9 to set up a short 3rd down. It's the ability to get 14 yards on a run. We've seen it. We saw it time and time again. Him, even if he didn't get the 1st down, he made 3rd and manageable over and over and over again. I mean, they couldn't get off the field, whether it was penalties, whether it was mistakes. Like the opening drive, that's the game. Like that was a microcosm of the game. 3rd and 13, I believe it was. Either 3rd and 12 or 3rd and 13 on the first drive, and Penick holds. They get off the incomplete pass. They're about to get off the field. Flag. We saw that multiple times. They could not get off the field. And while they didn't give up touchdowns, you can't allow scores every single drive. And you can't allow those drives to be 7, 8, 10, 12 play drives that take up 7, 8, 9 minutes. You can't allow that consistently. They doubled them up in time of possession practically. The offense played relatively well. They weren't on the field long enough. The fumble cost them. The drop pass cost them. That's it. You make 2 mistakes that don't end in points, and you can't win, let alone not having a kicker. Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. Defense, terrible. I feel like my high school, old high school team could play bad defense, and disgusting.
Well, I mean, yeah, they can't stop the run. They can't get off the field. And I thought this defensive front was supposed to be their strength. I mean, Dexter Lawrence played well last week. I'm sure the numbers will come out that he graded well in this game, but He beats it one-on-one, but right now he's not. They're not stopping the run. You got the, you know, third and short turns into an enormous gain. I mean, time and time again, they just cannot get off the field.
Yeah, their red zone defense is great, but their regular defense is terrible. I mean, I know the kicker was hurt, but that one call that Gable made, you know, the 4th and 4 late in the game, it should have went to a field goal there. The guys made it from 40 yards before.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with trying to go win the game, because let's just talk. They needed a touchdown there. If they kick a field goal, even if they make it, you know what Washington's going to do. Washington's going to go right down the field and score a touchdown. Or kick a field goal, rather. Like, you know it. They haven't been able to stop them all day. I don't want to play for a field goal there. I don't want to take a chance on a 39-yard field goal with a kicker who missed the extra point and is the punter. Like, I don't have a problem going for it on 4th and 4. He called up a play that got it. Neighbors dropped the ball. And he's got to make that catch. I understand he had 10 catches. I understand he had over 100 yards receiving. I understand he had the touchdown. He looked great. They're not even in this game if not for him. I can't bash him, but at the same time, he's got to make that catch. Like, if you want to be a big-time player in this league, you want to win football games, you have to make that catch. Now, he held himself accountable in the postgame, talked about letting his teammates down. I think he's going to be a great player in the future. Is extremely bright for this young man. You can say all of that and then still say, you got to make the catch. He can't drop that ball, not if they want to win. And unfortunately, yeah. I wish I could rant and rave about how wonderful he was. He leaves a taste in your mouth of the drop pass. That's the game. That's the game. I have no problem going for it on 4th and 4. I really don't. Not with the kicking situation they had. Plus, I got to put the ball in the end zone. A field goal, they're going to... Like, I know that only ties the game, but they might score a touchdown to beat me. I know they're going to score a field goal to send it to overtime. I don't want to get into overtime without a kicker. I want to go win the game right there. They dialed up a play. They had it. He hit him. It should have been a play that ended up in a first down, and hopefully it could have ended up in a touchdown drive. This Giant team finds ways to lose. Their best weapon, who's been dominant all day, drops an easy pass. Their running back, who had a pretty good game, fumbles. They get off. They make a play and make a stop. Defensive holding. Like, they find a way to lose. It's unbelievable. It felt like in year one, Brian Daboll changed all this. It really did. That first win against Tennessee on the road, it felt like a cleansing. They go for the two-point conversion after the touchdown. They win that game. It felt like a weight had been lifted from this franchise that had always found ways to lose. Always. Then they have that kind of miracle season. The defense plays completely over its head. They make big plays to win games. They come from behind, 10 points against Baltimore, 10 points against Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. They make plays. They win games ugly, but they figure out a way. Barkley's having a great season. He's not turning over the ball, Daniel Jones. And they make it to the playoffs, and they win that playoff game. It felt like, hey, I don't know how good they're going to be moving forward. The roster isn't great, but they have a coach, and this inept feeling and finding ways to lose had finally just, the stink was off them. And man, if the stink isn't back, it's just still there. They can't find ways to win football games. If they've done, they did something yesterday that no team has done in NFL history. They scored 3 touchdowns, gave up none, and lost. It's never been done. We talk about the turnover battle. How do you win the touchdown battle by 3 and lose? Right, we go into games all the time. You got to win the turnover battle. Can't lose the turnover battle. Yeah, hey, listen, we lost the turnover battle. That's what cost us the game. How do you win the touchdown battle and lose? Never heard that one before. No one's ever been as idiotic to say, hey, they got to win the touchdown battle. That goes without saying. You win the
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Touchdown battle, you win the game.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
So yesterday was that rare day where we had all four teams going at once in the 1 o'clock hour. Had the Giants and Jets, and obviously, for the first time with me in the overnights in the last year. Last year, the games were meaningless for the baseball teams. This year, anything but. And to have two, you know, baseball games that are so important. I mean, Yankees, Red Sox, with the Yankees had a two-game lead over Baltimore heading into the day off of the cold debacle. And then the Mets playing in Philadelphia, trying to stay and keep pace with the Atlanta Braves, playing against the best team in baseball, Philadelphia, with the best record in baseball. I mean, I just avoided baseball for the first. That's how I handled it. You know me, I'm nuts. I got to watch it. I got to watch the games. I can't know who won. I'm big on. So I watched the football at 1 o'clock, and then only watched the Cincinnati game really, and then had the two baseball games on at 4 o'clock. But you know, this the Met team in particular, we'll talk more about baseball as the week goes through. The Mets have a game tonight. Manaea on the mound is going to have to step up. The starting pitching has still been great, even in this series that they lost 2 out of 3. The starting pitching has been really, really good. Peterson yesterday into the 8th inning, I mean, he's just been unbelievable. And this game yesterday was just a snooze fest. I mean, it was out. No team could do anything offensively. Obviously, the Mets dealing with Lindor's back injury, which is, I mean, not only are you concerned about whether he can play or not, but now you're concerned he does get a hit in the first inning of this game after sitting out the Saturday game, gets a hit to lead off the game, looks running a little gingerly to first base after the base hit, comes out of the game in the second inning, and it's just not only are you concerned about whether or not he can play, but what kind of, you know, the amount of work he has to do to get into game shape, apparently, you know, with this stiff lower back. And then if it's going to hamper him being able to play, I mean, you're probably going to have to get, it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world to give him off the National Series and try and see if you can get him going with 3 days off and get him healthy for Philadelphia and find a way to win these games against the Nationals without him. You got the way they've been pitching in particular. You would think hopefully they could just figure out a way to shut down the Nationals and scratch enough runs off the board. And that's, you know, again, Pete Alonso's got to come through here as they are now tied with Atlanta heading into this important stretch where they're going to have 3 against Washington and 4 against Philadelphia leading into that Atlanta series. They're now tied with Atlanta. And, you know, the Saturday game was a brutal loss, up 4-0. To watch that thing wash away, see the 2 home runs from Harper, And to blow that game in the fashion that you did, see the home run robbed, Martinez, just a devastating loss. And then yesterday you take a 1-0 lead on the home run from Taylor, and then to see, you know, Peterson, who kind of just eventually ran out of gas, give up the back-to-back doubles to give up the lead, and then Diaz in the ninth give up the base hit to JT Realmuto. Devastating loss, losing 2 out of 3. You've now, you know, lost that one game lead you had on Atlanta, and it's tied heading into this stretch. These are important games, but you almost got to give Lindor a couple days to see if you can get him right. So right now, the Mets season is, I mean, this is as exciting as it gets. These games are all extremely important. And Minaya, who's been incredible, goes on the mound, takes the mound tonight, trying to get you one more victory. And really, the starting pitching has been unbelievable for the last month and a half. It's been good since June. It's been otherworldly for the last few weeks. And you're going to need that to continue, because I know the offense scored some runs, the multiple three-run home runs, and hopefully, you know, maybe Alvarez hitting that home run against Toronto in that six-run ninth, and then following it up with a three-run home run against Philadelphia. You'd like to see if he can get hot, but someone's going to have to step up and take up for their MVP, Lindor, with the back injury right now. But the starting pitching has been good enough to carry them. You don't have to scratch out a ton of runs against Washington with the way the starting rotation's going. But the Mets have to figure out a way to at least take 2 out of 3. And then they have a 4-game set against Philadelphia, who just took 2 out of 3 against them and is playing right now. They've had an up-and-down season, unbelievable to start, slumped for a long stretch, and now seem to be playing some of their best baseball. So it is a brutal schedule going down. They even end with Milwaukee, who should have it wrapped up by then. But these next three series, Washington, Philadelphia, Atlanta, are going to dictate this Mets season. So it was frustrating to have all 4 games all at once yesterday. But this is exciting time, man. This is as good as it gets.
You know, yesterday was also the first time all year that Yankees-Red Sox wasn't Sunday Night Baseball.
Was it
the one
really?
Time we needed it to be?
The one time we needed it to be, I know. And I thought, I mean, we'll get into it more tomorrow. I got to talk about this Cole situation because it drove me absolutely nuts. I was at my son's Little League game watching it on my phone, and I literally had to walk away. My wife's like, where are you going? I'm like, I can't be around people right now. They're going to think I'm crazy. I was so freaking mad. I was so mad at Gerrit Cole, and that's where I place my blame. I know everyone wants to blame Boone. We'll get into it. We don't have time for it today, but I'll get into it tomorrow. It's mind-numbing to me. Absolutely mind-numbing that a Cy Young Award winner, one of the best pitchers in baseball, a man who makes $36 million, the ace of the New York Yankees, is afraid of Devers and the Red Sox. Afraid. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. It's not even the walk. It's what it means. It's just unbelievable. Other than that, I thought Boone had a terrific series and completely outmanaged Alex Cora. Completely outmanaged him. And Alex Cora is trying to pull. Alex Cora is 4.5 games out of the wild card, trying to rally his team around a hit batman and an intentional walk. Loser! He also, in the first game of the series, pinch hit. Jansen had hit a home run earlier in the game. Late in the game, Canley's on the mound, tie game. Jansen hit a home run earlier in the game. He has owned the New York Yankees. And you pinch hit Cassius, a left-handed hitter who's slumping right now, to go against Canley, who gets out left-handed hitters? Like it or not, Yankee fans, Aaron Boone completely outmanaged Alex Cora this entire series. Stu in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you? Chris, he did outmanage him, and it's about time somebody outmanaged Alex Cora with his big mouth. The Giants? What defense? I mean, the defense wasn't even there.
No.
The defense was not even there, Chris.
No,
they didn't play a lick.
No, it's amazing. It's amazing to me because you know what? And thank you for the call, Stu. A previous caller said it. You know, when the defense only gives up 21 points offensively, you have to figure it out. Most of the time, that's the case. But if you watch this game, the offense played relatively well. Like, they weren't dynamic necessarily, but they played relatively well. This defense couldn't get off the field. And holding a team to field goals usually will get it done. Not on every single drive. This game is absolutely on the defense. Anybody who has anything else to say didn't watch the game. You could look at the stats and just go, oh, 21 points, they didn't give up a touchdown. What the hell's the problem? Score some points, Danny Jones. And normally I'd be right there with you. That's not what happened yesterday. Eddie in Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris, what's happening,
what's
man?
What's up, buddy?
Happy
How are
week
you?
Two.
Yeah, happy week
all
two.
Right.
Fantastic.
Well, it was nice to have two competitive games, first of all. What I would get out of the game is Will Levis is some good quarterback. If he didn't mess up that little play right before they were going to go up 14-0, I think that the Jets probably would have got a little bit, probably would have.
Yeah, man, but that's part of it. I mean, he makes critical mistakes. He's, I mean, he can throw the ball, and, you know, Calvin Ridley.
It's only his second, it's not even his second game of his second year.
I mean, he
looks like he can throw a ball real good.
Yeah.
He's got a good vision. He just has to have a little better pocket presence. He stands in the pocket just a little bit too long before he decides to run.
I mean, yeah, we'll see. I don't have that much faith in him. I agree with you. He could throw the ball. He's got a pretty good arm. But he literally gave away the Chicago game, and he made a critical mistake in this game. So we'll see. I mean, he definitely does look like he could throw the football a little bit. But I don't know if how good of a feeling we have on Will Levis right now.
I'd like to give my MVP to the Jets, who won the game, to Mr. Robert Saleh,
mm-hmm.
for calling those two timeouts before the end of the clock timeout runs out on offense. That mm-hmm. saved them in two or three
yeah,
spots.
Their offense, especially early on, so they were moving in slow motion.
Clueless.
It was
Rodgers
very
didn't even look like he was looking at the clock.
Yeah, and even some of his body language after throws, like early on, I don't know if it just they looked like they were moving in slow motion, like they were in quicksand or something. They were getting to the line slow. They were constantly about to be called for delay a game. You're right. The coach had to call a couple timeouts to stop it from losing 5 yards. And even after just misplays, like. His body language looked like he was sulking a little bit. Like I did not like what I saw in the first half from the tempo and the pace and just the overall pep and the step and you know, for lack of a better term, from this offense. And then it picked up in the second half, and they did enough, and he made enough good throws. And I really think the run game picked up, and having that second run, having that young kid be able to, you know, do what he did. Get you two touchdowns, one in the passing game, and make you feel like you have another, you know, weapon and someone who can I'm losing my mind with the running back. Here we go, 441. All comes into Breece Hall. Give Breece Hall a little bit of a break and let him be in the passing game a little bit more. Like, he's such a dynamic player that I don't know. Like, when you see players like this, I know Saquon Barkley has that kind of a breakaway ability and game-changing ability and the ability in the passing game. I don't think Breece Hall has to be a third-down back necessarily, like we've heard. But I don't know if he can be the bell cow on every... I don't know if you can have Breece Hall in there every single play. Like, I think you saw that it actually made him a little bit fresher. They were talking about this in the post game, and I totally agree. Like, giving him a spell here or there absolutely allowed him to look a little bit fresher and make more plays down the stretch. So if Allen can be that guy who provides a little bit of a thunder and lightning kind of, but can be the short yardage guy. I know for fantasy owners, we're not going to like to hear that because he's going to steal touchdowns. But if he could be a little bit of that ground and pound guy, get the short yardage, get the goal line work a little bit, and allow Breece Hall to be a little bit more fresher to run routes, because we've seen him, when they line him up and he's on a linebacker, that's a devastating advantage. Like, you want him out in the passing game, lined up on a linebacker as much as possible. He's got breakaway speed. He can catch the ball. You know, he's good in the open field. Like, that is a game-changing playmaker right there out in the passing game. And I just feel like if you're going to run him constantly, if he's out there three downs every, you know, drive, like, it's too much. So if they have like a tandem there, I actually think it makes Breece Hall a little bit more effective. Eddie in the Bronx, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's going on? Oh my gosh, Chris, this is crazy. I was listening to you talk, and I'm like, I always wanted to give Dable the benefit of the doubt, always wanted to give Shane the benefit of the doubt, but what you say is true. But the one thing I don't want, and people keep talking about this, is Bill Belichick. As much as I love him, I think you're talking about a guy who's 72 years old, who's going to be 73. We need a quarterback. And by the time we need more than a quarterback, but mm-hmm. definitely we do need a quarterback. By the time the quarterback gets around to being, you know, ready, prepared, Bill Belichick will be pushing 80 years old.
Well, I mean,
that's going to be, I mean, well, he's going to be at least 70, 75, 76 years old.
Why does it take 3 to 4 years to develop a quarterback? I just saw C.J. Stroud out there in Sunday Night Football right now looking like a guy who's leading a team into being a Super Bowl contender.
But how many dudes are like that?
I don't know if it takes that long. You're telling me he can't have this team up and running like a playoff team in 2-3 years? He should be able to.
But then we're back in another cycle again of, you know, you can't expect Bill to come in here, and if he does change things around, how long is it going to last?
Bill Belichick, you know, Giant fans, we don't want, now we're done with the rookie coach and we want experience, but we don't want too much experience. We want you're talking about the greatest head coach in the history of the sport. You don't want him here? Really? Okay. Like, look, I think he's fair. I wish, and I don't know what he would want. I wish he could work with the GM. I don't know if he should be the GM and the head coach, but I mean, if he's willing to take on the team, how do you not? I mean, it shouldn't take that. It doesn't take this long to turn a team around. Like, it's not a 5-year, 6-year plan. In the NFL, it's built to be, it's in a couple years, boom, boom. You make the right, you get the right quarterback in the room, you make a couple of right picks, you block for him. That's it. The Texans were terrible. Back when Deshaun Watson was a top 5 quarterback in the NFL, they couldn't win games with him. They were awful. The franchise was terrible. They're Super Bowl contenders 2 years later. You get the right coach, you get the right quarterback, you make a couple of right moves, you get an offensive line and a defensive front. That's it. It doesn't take 6 years. The NFL is designed to get these teams back into contention. It's designed to prevent dynasties, for the most part, although, you know, Kansas City's doing a good job. And it's designed to help, you know, how many years in a row did we see a team go from last to first in the NFL? It's like 5 or 6 years in a row. Some team in the NFL went from last place to win in the division. Like, that's what it's about. It shouldn't take forever. And I don't know if Bill Belichick's the right hire or not. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we talk about how the owner wants stability. He doesn't want to fire Dable. Dable's going to have to really have one hell of a season. I mean, because they don't want to be kind and firing coaches. What's more stable than hiring Bill Belichick? What's more of just, what else can I do? And I'm sorry. Brian Daboll went into this game ill-prepared. He had a kicker who went into the game with an injury. Maybe it was not such an injury that he couldn't kick, but we saw in the pregame he was grimacing and cut his workout short. And the punter was practicing field goals in the pregame. If that was Sunday, what did Saturday look like? And why isn't there we saw Jermaine Johnson's injury. If you lose a pass rusher, if you lose a wide receiver, if you lose a safety, if you lose a corner, like, there are guys who can step in. You have a 53-man roster. So it could be a devastating loss depending on how good the player is, but at least there's guys to rotate in. You don't have a backup kicker. How do you allow the same mistake to be made that you made last year, that you went in with Graham Gano, the same kicker with an injury. He got hurt. You didn't have a kicker against the Jets, and you allowed the same thing to happen. Like, part of being a coach in the NFL is learning from your mistakes. I don't like seeing the same mistakes twice, and especially ones as blatant as this. I mean, you know, Dable has completely done a complete 180. From the guy who walked off that field winning a road playoff game against Minnesota. I mean, just from that moment on, it's a completely different person. both physically and as a head coach. It's crazy.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw on third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer. As a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fan.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So there have been times in my life where I've been very surprised. I mean, I've been dumped out of nowhere, caught me off guard. There's been many times where I've just been completely shocked. Nothing has surprised me more than the idea that Brenton Long Island is not on hold right now. I thought for sure. I know he ran from Jones last Monday. I thought for sure, and I know the Giants lost. And I know, listen, all the things we say about Brett or whatever, this is usually Brett's time, these couple minutes here. I'm sure he's a Giant fan. He cares very much and deeply, clearly. All of his online group chats would tell you.
Unlike you, he's a Giants fan.
Unlike me, he's actually a Giant fan. So I'm sure he's hurting today because they lost. But I thought for sure he'd be on the phone right now telling me, oh, what are you going to say about Daniel Jones now? I thought for sure I was going to have that conversation today. So I'll pseudo have it with Brett. He played very well. I told you I thought he would play much better. The Washington sucks, and it's the one team he consistently plays against. I still don't have faith in him moving forward as a quarterback, and he's going to hurt them more than he helps them. But he played good in this game, and he's certainly not anywhere near the problem in this loss. He's still the problem overall with the Giants, but he played well enough to win this game. This is about the defense. This is about the head coach. Pat and Suffern. What's up, Pat?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Just a couple, three quick things. I think you're seeing the evolution of the game here because you had all this whole ideology of the running back doesn't matter. We had one running back score four touchdowns and two score three this season. So it could really be changing the way the game is viewed.
I don't know. I saw the backup running back for the 49ers absolutely run it down the throat of the New York Jets. I mean, not that the running back position is watered is become lesser, not because the actual player on the player on the field doesn't matter, but because you can kind of interject. You don't need a world class running back like Singletary ran the ball well for the Giants today. If he didn't fumble, he gave them a very good run game today. I mean, like it's not so much that the actual position on the field doesn't impact the game. It's that you can get a lot of people to do what a great running back can do. Like it's just like you can game plan it and you can get backups who can do it. Like that's more of the thing. Like. Yeah, obviously, yeah. You get four touchdowns and stuff.
You get that special guy. Look at the Bills with this Cook guy. I mean,
I
don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. The other thing too, the Giant game. I don't think we're going to see a game like that in a long time. Where you have
we've never seen it before.
Yeah, that was pretty. And I think Dable really. I just think he feels under a lot of pressure, you know, and that's really what's going on there. I mean, I'm not, you know. That's what's happening there. He wants to succeed, and he's getting frustrated, and you know that's what was going on there yesterday. And that whole Wink Martindale thing, that's kind of weird. Like, I wonder, like, really, what the right thing to do was there? Because I know you're the head coach, you got to be the man, but who knows? I mean, maybe I don't know.
I think they did the right thing in the end. I think once you have a guy who doesn't respect the head coach. And his underlings are leaking stuff to the media. He has to go. I don't think that what I blame the head coach for is allowing that situation to take place. He's the leader of the team. Wink Martindale is a hell of a defensive coordinator. You have to find a way to make it work. You have to. That's part that like build relationship building and making things cohesive inside the clubhouse and locker room is partly on you. Now, I don't know all the ins and outs of that, and maybe it was impossible, and I'm speaking unfairly. I don't know, but it's part of it. When I watch this defensive coordinator, who was brought here to stop the run, be absolutely run over, and this bend but break mentality they have here is getting broken and giving up seven field goals on seven possessions and costing the Giants a football game and not giving their offense enough time to actually go out there and score points. It's frustrating when I know Wink Martindale, who, by the way, didn't get another job in the NFL, is in college right now. But still, we saw what he did with this group 2 years ago. Now, last year wasn't any great shakes defensively, but I know he's a good defensive coordinator. And that's part of it. But I'm sorry, he wants to do well? Yeah, everybody wants to do well. Everybody wants to do well. Ray Hanley wanted to do well. He's got to be better, and he's got to have a backup plan for the kicker. It's inexcusable. And he's got to have the team more ready to play than week one the last 2 years. And you got to stop committing so many penalties that kill you. Like, you need smarter, you need better, you need more heads up, and you need to have a backup plan when you're going into the game with an injured kicker. You don't have another one. Terrible loss. Terrible loss for the New York Giants. All right. Great show. Wonderful. Glorious. Another 0-2 season for the New York Giants. Jets do get a victory, even though it comes with an injury. We'll do more on the baseball as we got Mets Nationals tonight. Pennant race baseball is still upon us. Football is here. Thursday for the Jets. A lot to do. See you tomorrow.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.